Back to our top story today, the so-called Panama Papers. It's a huge leak of documents from a Panamanian law office called Mossack Fonseca. The documents allegedly show how clients of the firm use Panama as a haven for tax evasion, money laundering, even arms and drug deals. Mossack Fonseca seems to have quite the clientele, all manner of the rich and famous and more than one world leader, including Prime Minister Gunnlaugsson of Iceland. In the past, he's urged Icelanders to keep their money in the country as it recovers from the economic crash of a few years back. But the leaked papers show he and his wife bought a company in the British Virgin Islands in 2007, allegedly to hide money. We spoke with Paul Fontaine, news editor at the Reykjavik Grapevine, about the public outcry that's erupted.
Whether or not he broke any laws is very possible. It really depends on your interpretation of the law. As you said, he and his wife did set up this company, Wintrust Incorporated, in Tortola in the British Virgin Islands. When he came into Parliament in 2009, 8 months later, he had sold his share, his 50% share in this company to his wife for $1. And this sale was made exactly one day before a bill was passed into law that had more strict requirements for members of Parliament to register their vested interests. Now, he contends that his particular vested interest did not technically fall under the category that was listed in law at the time, before and after the passage of this new law, but not everyone sees it that way. But the bigger question really is, why is the prime minister, why had he for years been acting in contradiction to his own economic policies? And why did he keep all this to himself until he was forced to reveal his interests?
Yeah, so how is the prime minister defending himself?
Not very well.
Has there been any reaction from his office?
Well, in an interview he gave today, he apologized for this now infamous interview that a lot of people have seen where he got very defensive and he walked out of the interview. Well, this morning he apologized for his behavior during the interview, but he emphasized, you know, I don't think I did anything wrong. I reported all my money to the tax company and I have no intention of resigning.
What's the kind of general attitude in Iceland to the whole idea of tax shelters?
Well, even the prime minister himself has spoken out against them. That's part of what is so galling to the Icelandic public about this. I mean, this is the man who has been touting the strength of the Icelandic krona, our currency here. He's encouraged people to keep their money in the country. He's enforced capital controls on us. And the fact that he's just pretty much disregarded all of this in his personal financial dealings has made people absolutely furious. Like, I don't think people are as concerned with the letter of the law as they are just general ethics.
So even if the prime minister has done something that is, in fact, legal, are Icelanders kind of willing to let him slide on this one, or are they really that upset?
They appear to be incredibly angry. In the years that I've covered this coalition government, I've never seen this type of groundswell of rage, not just because of this, because of so many other things that have happened before it, that this is kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. There's also the fact that a petition that's been circulating calling for the prime minister's resignation has just over 25,000 signatures, bearing in mind that Iceland is a country of 320,000 people. It's a significant chunk of the population that are calling for his resignation.
So how do you see this ending, Paul?
Well, the most telling thing of all is that his partner in the ruling coalition, the Minister of Finance, Bjarni Benediktsson, it's more like what Bjarni has not said. Like, he was asked point blank, do you think the prime minister is fit to continue his office? And he would not answer, which is very telling. And from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, members of the Independence Party, who themselves are not completely clean, kind of look at Sigmundur Davíð as a weight around their necks. And it seems that they're washing their hands of him. And I really wouldn't be surprised if, even if the prime minister doesn't resign himself, the Independence Party themselves want to form a new coalition.
You know, being ground zero for the economic crash in 2008 was humiliating enough for a lot of Icelanders. But what does this now do to Iceland's reputation as, you know, a success story post-2008? Does it start to look as corrupt as a lot of places?
Ironically enough, I think a lot of Icelanders are hoping that, because one of the things that's been very frustrating for us is that there's been a lot of very starry-eyed reports about Iceland's economic miracle and its bounce back when a lot of the major players, including our own elected officials, are still very much corrupt and very much embroiled in unethical, if not illegal, economic practices. And so I think there's a hope amongst many Icelanders that the rest of the world does know this, that they do pay attention, and that it helps put pressure upon this government to dissolve.
Paul Fontaine, news editor at the Reykjavik Grapevine, speaking with us from Reykjavik. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.